Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All righty, good morning, everybody. Miller and Condon here on a Tuesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. It's Trent Condon and Ken Miller for the next couple of hours on an unseasonably warm Tuesday. We talk sports with you right up until noon. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. Tuesdays, it's for baseball. Matt Snyder is going to join us at 10:30. We will catch up with our buddy Matt Snyder, go around MLB as we come down the stretch inside 3 weeks left in the regular season. So we'll catch up with Matt Snyder, 11:30. Frank Schwab from YahooSports.com. I'm going to talk some NFL 2 weeks into the season. What do we know? What do we think we know? Where were we wrong? Teams to keep an eye on. Maybe some dark horse Super Bowl contender, that type of stuff with Frank. And perhaps a college football guest coming up here at 11:05. But if not, we will take you up until Frank's hit at 11:30. Another week of the NFL is in the books. 2 weeks into it. Two blowout games last night. Good morning to UTC.
Hello.
So first of all, before we get into the games, what'd you think? The overlap in the games as opposed to doing one and then doing the other, which they've certainly done in the past. I kind of like the way they did it last night.
Now, I hated it.
Now, if there would have been if the Bills and the Titans would have been back and forth,
right,
then you would have had to make a choice, but it wasn't the case. Neither one of them were, quite honestly. When did Jalen Hurts get good?
Last year, towards the end of the season. Last six games or so of the season.
To this level from last night?
Well,
and he could, what was he, 11 for 11 at one point?
Right. I mean, we're going to another level here, but oof. I mean, this is a big reason that we saw so much steam come into the Eagles throughout the summer, is I think people look back and saw what he became at the end of the season, and you get rid of that ugly performance in the playoffs, and you look at the total body of work and say,
and A.J. Brown.
And maybe Philadelphia has something here. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He took it to another level last night, but yeah, look back at his game log from a year ago, and you really saw a big improvement out of him. He's not tall, but he's big.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the physicality mm-hmm. to go along with it, and what a story. A guy losing his job in college.
Yeah, right.
Going on, finishing up his career. Not a high draft pick, but a guy that you at least
second
are taking,
round.
Yeah, you're taking a shot on,
yeah.
Right? You're thinking maybe we can develop him, and here he is. And have you seen the adjustment of MVP odds for
no,
him?
No, what was he after last?
He was 14-1 going into the game last night, yeah. Dropped to 8-1. Third choice now behind Mahomes and
Allen.
Yeah, and Josh Allen, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, Josh Allen's numbers must have gone down after last night, too, because he was unbelievable. Him and Diggs, boy, they got something going there. That whole team, mm-hmm. this Buffalo team, are they, from what we've seen, again, it's 2 weeks into it,
mm-hmm.
Clearly the team to beat?
You know, I posed this question to you, I think, right before the season. We feel like, and the betting odds certainly played it out, that Buffalo was the favorite coming into the year. And I asked you, are we sure the gap is that big? Because betting-wise, the gap was pretty significant between the Bills and everybody else. And I didn't think so. I really didn't think the gap was as wide as what at least betting says uh-huh. that it was. 2 weeks in, that gap has certainly increased, I think, for everybody's look.
Well, look what they've done. They beat the Super Bowl champs on the road, and then that team they beat last night was the one seed in the AFC last year.
It hasn't been close.
Neither one of them have been. They've been just bludgeoning teams. They can run it.
And they haven't
played
perfect by any means either. Think back to that first half against the Rams. It's tied going into halftime. Mm-hmm. They were turning it over mm-hmm. nonstop last night.
Points on the field.
The first half of the game, it was pretty nip-tuck for being, a 17-7 game at the half. Mm-hmm. The Titans felt like at least they were going to hang around. And then the second half comes, and things open up, and Allen makes a play, and suddenly the gap between them and everybody
and
else
the defense.
Is
Milano was terrific.
Yes.
Von Miller was terrific. They got some dudes. They got some dudes on that football team. And, boy, they're going to be a tough. I wonder if this is finally it.
This is the breakthrough.
If you're a Bills fan, can you imagine feeling like this 2 weeks into the season?
Mm-hmm.
Before the season, you were pretty pumped up about your team, and then you see what they've done for the first 2 weeks of the season, realizing got so much football to play. Oh, by the way, it's a contact sport, and that kid under center, you got to keep him upright because, man, oh, man, this Allen is something. He is something, and so many people missed on him.
Everybody did.
Yeah, including John Elway.
Well, stop with the personal bias here. How many people really thought he was going to be a star? It was a rarity. Mm-hmm. Almost every draft pick that you heard.
Well, he did go 7 overall. So
yeah, oh, Buffalo certainly did. Mm-hmm. But so many people talked about him as being a bust potential. You look at a lot of the numbers that, and then a year in, he's completing barely over 50% of his passes. You can't come back from that in the NFL unless you're Josh Allen. He is the only guy that has come back at this kind of level, being as bad as he was early in his career and now turning into an MVP and maybe the best quarterback in the league. You just don't see that happen at that kind of level.
Here's the picks that went before him. See what you think about that. Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick, mm-hmm. Arizona. Nick Bosa went too. Good pick. Good player. He's going to have a long career, and they're very happy they've got him. Quinnen Williams goes 3 to the Jets. Cleveland Farrell, is he out of the league? Did the Raiders cut him? There was some talk that he was maybe not long for the Raiders. Right. Devin White, hell of a player in Tampa Bay. Leader of that defense, terrific player. Here's what's got to make you sick if you're a Giants fan. You know, win 6?
Danny Dimes.
Win 6.
Whoops.
Yeah. Josh Allen goes 7.
Dan Marino went 27. Tom Brady went in the 6th round. Mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it is the death knell that you believe it is, because it was your team and the Broncos not going out and getting him. A lot of people thought he was going to be a bust.
Yeah.
John Elway is not alone on that island. It's mm-hmm. not like he is all by himself and this was a surefire. This was a guy that had bust potential written all over him. Look back at the Iowa game that he played at Wyoming. Look at the game he played against
Oregon. I got the wrong draft. I got the wrong Josh Allen draft. That's Josh Allen.
Oh, the Kentucky guy?
The Kentucky kid, yeah. Here's Josh Allen's draft. Baker Mayfield. Shaquan Barkley. Shaq Barkley, good player. Hurt all the time.
Yeah.
You know who went 3? Sam Darnold.
Yikes.
Denzel Ward, good player with Cleveland.
Be solid.
You need a quarterback, Cleveland. Bradley Chubb goes 5. Bust. Quentin Nelson, plug and play.
He's very good.
Living in there for 15 years. Do you have a quarterback, Indy? No, you don't.
That Josh Matt Ryan Allen. Experiment, it's not going very well, is it?
You know, what's wrong with that team, Trent? What is wrong with the Colts? You think it's clearly on him?
Yeah, 3 picks. I mean, he's got to throw an interception before he even gets going every week.
Man, I didn't think he was this washed up at this point in his career.
It can happen fast.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. Both Josh Allens went both 7th overall in their draft years. And then some, after that, there's a bunch of guys that never heard of, but that's the way the draft is. Josh mm-hmm. Rosen's already out of the league.
Yeah.
He went 10th overall. How many places has he been, for God's sakes?
Oh.
Right?
4 or 5?
He was with the Chargers for a cup of coffee, just got cut by Cleveland, right?
Yep.
Was with Arizona that's who drafted, Arizona drafted him. Then he ends up, I know he just got cut by Cleveland.
He has been with
Miami.
Arizona to Miami, that was the early trade
right?
for him, to Tampa, to the practice squad, to the 49ers, to Atlanta, to Cleveland.
Jeez.
He has played in with 4 different teams, and he has been on 6 teams.
Well, you got to imagine that the majority of his games were played the first year he was in the league.
Yeah, played 13 games that year, 14 games, started 13, started 3 with Miami after that, and then played 4 games in 2021 with Atlanta.
So think
went
back,
2 of 11.
Think back to that draft class with the quarterbacks, Baker and Darnold and Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. Did you have a favorite?
I like Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It might have been Darnold. If I remember correctly, yeah, it was probably Darnold.
I like Josh Rosen.
Did you?
I think I did.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways,
it's a crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot.
You got to leave your boy Elway alone.
He's a hell of a player. Boy, oh boy, he can't generally manage to save his life.
Well, he got ownership now that's got money after money.
That's true, and they got the wrong quarterback again, in my opinion. Anyways, Derwin James was in that draft. He went 17th overall. Do you think that the Chargers are happy to have him? My God, he's a hell of a player.
That's a good one at 17.
Indeed it is. All right, baseball from last night.
Are we going to jump over the Vikings?
No, you know what? Let's do that. I was going to go to Minnesota, but I was going to go to the Twins. So let's go to the Vikings.
We can cross them off.
You can, right? But here's the thing. It's what's the date today? The 20th, so it's the 15th of September, Twins are, you're still hoping, right? I mean, they got you to the middle of September.
Well, they get
you. They're in the right division. They're not a good baseball team.
No.
If they're anywhere else, this was over in August.
Yes.
But the fact that they're in the AL Central, you had at least a rooting interest until they went to Cleveland this week and lost 4 or 5.
I have not even put them on. I just, they broke me.
Mm-hmm.
They broke me. It's so frustrating how close they were, how they had control of this division. Yep. It should have been up even.
Well, it was a Cleveland series. Was it right after the All-Star break?
Yeah, right around that time, yeah.
That they went in there and they coughed up leads.
Three leads.
Three bullpen.
There were two different series during that week stretch where they played Cleveland. They had leads going into either the eighth or ninth inning, I think in 6 different games. If they hold on to even half of those leads, they would have been up 9 games. If they would have held on to all of them, mm-hmm. they would have been up 12. And for all intents and purposes, it would have been over at that point. Mm-hmm. Instead, they didn't. And here we are today where now we are just rooting. Get to 79 wins.
You and I are right because of the betting angle.
And
with
at
the
73 and 74.
I know. It feels like we should get there. But, man, it's going to be closer than I thought it was going to be. So let's do the Vikings from last night. So Kirk Cousins, again, he went into the game with a reputation of a guy that just can't play on a big stage. Mm-hmm. He left that game with the reputation that, yes, we were right. This is a guy that can't play on a big stage. But was it all him? Didn't he have help in coughing this up?
He did.
I mean, the Eagle, give them credit. Let's give Philadelphia credit, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. A, that secondary is terrific. They got this Slay kid is one of the most underrated, I think. We think about the best corners in the league.
Yep.
How far do you have to go before you get to him?
It's usually 10, 12, 15, but something like that.
That's not fair to him.
Absolutely. Watching him again last night, and he's been around for a long time. And I thought the same thing. In fact, that's what I had in my notes, how underrated Darius Slay is. He makes plays. He was all over Jefferson all night long. Mm-hmm. The route that turned into an interception for Cousins.
Yep.
That was on Jefferson cutting
that
off
incorrectly. It was, and he admitted it. So
it was one of those nights that you learn a little bit more about a guy, and Slay, I think, is one of those guys that on a primetime game becomes top of our lexicon. You know, when we're talking about those guys, oh, yeah, that night. And those are the kind of nights, and that's why primetime games are so important. And Kirk Cousins, speaking of primetime, do you see the number?
No, I knew it was bad.
He is 2-37 in primetime games.
I didn't know it was that bad.
60-62 in his career as a starter. Primetime games, either night games or late afternoon window games that are nationally broadcast. 2-37. That's impossible.
Mm. So what do we think we know after 2 weeks in the NFC North?
That the Packers are still the class.
Where do they fit, though, conference-wise?
Well, the Bucs are going to have to win differently this year.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady, does it feel like we're looking at Peyton Manning in his final season with your Denver Broncos?
That's good, Trent. That's a good one. That's good.
He looked old,
mm-hmm.
disinterested.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you see Peyton's brother Eli dress up
at the Penn State practice.
Penn State as a walk-on.
Give that one a search on Twitter. It's really fun.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So, he's not as physically bad as Peyton got at that point. You know, injuries had just taken everything.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't throw the ball.
Nope.
Brady's not at that point.
Manning got benched.
He did. For Brock Osweiler, right?
Yeah. I don't see that happening to Tom Brady.
I don't think so either.
Now, to Manning's credit, he bailed them out. I think it was the Chargers that were in Denver. And at halftime, they were getting walloped. And Peyton hadn't played. And he came back into the football game. It was either week 16 or 17. It was late in the schedule, late in the season. And he came back and led them to victory. And then they never lost again.
That worked out pretty well.
Indeed, it worked out pretty well. But, Trent, to your point, that's a really good comparison. Because this is not the same Tom Brady after 2 weeks that we've seen so far. What are his stats? Let me pull them up. Touchdown to interception. Tom Brady's thrown, he's played two touchdowns, one interception. That's not good. That's not Tom Brady-like. 402 yards, so he's averaging 201 yards a game. He's been sacked 3 times. Now, the offensive line's got some problems.
It does. Is that going to get better?
No. I don't think.
You let that many guys walk, and that's why it was down on this team. That defense, though, is for real.
No, they are. They got a whole bunch of dudes led by Devin White. Mm-hmm. Winfield in the back. Lavonte David is still playing at a
very
high level.
Right in the middle. Just
Vita Vea is a dude. Where did he play? Washington?
Yes. Clogging everything up there. Goldstein on one side. Akeem Hicks, who was really good with the Bears, on the other. They got dudes up and down
Shaquille
that roster.
Barrett?
Yes.
Good player.
And Antoine Winfield Jr.?
No, he's a star.
Yes.
He's a star. Let's get Jeff in here, then we'll get back to the Vikings. We point blame and try to figure out. Look, I was more impressed this whole weekend, maybe, and I know it was the latest, always the greatest, but I turned the TV off last night thinking to myself, I didn't think he was this good. I'm talking about Hurts.
Right.
He was terrific.
He took it to another level.
He was as good a quarterback as I saw this weekend.
And he saw
maybe
a lot
it's
of Josh
only
Allen.
One night.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of Josh Allen. Jeff, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. It's good to be back. Let's talk about Hurts, first of all. That run he had, a 25, 30-yard run.
The touchdown?
The touchdown, where he's scrambling, and then he puts on that Madden juke spin move, and then Trent jumps on his back and carries Trent for 2 yards for a touchdown, was unbelievable. And, you know, they kind of touched on this maybe after the show. He was like 20, 25-1 to win MVP. He's third right now, third to win MVP. That performance, where a lot of casual fans got to watch, Jalen Hurts looked like the real deal.
He did.
But let's move on to the Vikings. Here's an interesting stat that you guys first, I don't think you said it yet, maybe you have. Dalvin Cook had 6 rushing attempts for 17 yards.
Ridiculous. Totally agree with you. Saw that.
How is he having, for 17 yards, Kirk Cousins had 20 yards rushing. How is Kirk Cousins getting more rushing yards than Dalvin Cook? That's a problem. Number two, I thought this was the biggest play of the game besides the rush. Kirk Cousins drops back, takes a lick, throws a dime to Irv Smith.
And he dropped the football.
And he had a drop. That's a touchdown. He catches that ball. Now, I know, you know, there's more than just one or two plays.
Yep.
But I'm talking one of the two biggest plays, that drop to Irv Smith was massive. And they could really never get the offensive going. You guys touched base on, Jefferson. I'm sitting by a Viking fan last night, and he's already talking about how Jefferson is better than Randy Moss. And I said, hold on a second.
Tap the brakes.
Hold on a second. Slow down, buddy.
For my money, that's the best receiver that's ever played the game. And I know I'm going to get the Jerry Rice comeback. I get it. Randy Moss, to me, is the most gifted. Now, Jerry Rice had more want to than Randy Moss did. But Randy Moss, I think, is as good as ever played the position. I really do.
And I agree. And my last point is, you know, when we get into these, you know, we watch 1 week, we watch a second week. Minnesota beats Green Bay. It was a great win. I'm not taking that away from them. Now we come into week two, and I'm looking for Minnesota to take that step, to put that foot in the ground, go 2-0, and say, hey, we're one of the best teams in the NFC. They lose this game, and it's just typical Minnesota. Now we're 1-1, and now everyone's kind of saying, oh, Kirk Cousins, this and that. They needed to make that step. They didn't make that step, and Jalen Hurts is unbelievable. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. There was a point in the game, Trent. It's 14-7. Vikings got the football back. They're at about their own 40-yard line.
Yep.
And I thought that maybe the momentum was coming over to the Vikings side, and they went 3-and-out.
Yeah.
They went 3-and-out. And then I think the Eagles either got a field goal after that to go up 17-7. But it just felt at that point that the last thing that Minnesota could do was go 3-and-out. Keith joins us. Hello, Keith. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, guys. Hey, I watching last night's game, I just went back to, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when they announced Nick Sirianni as the Eagles coach.
Right.
In the press conference, and he was mocked.
Yeah, he was.
He's not that articulate. He couldn't put sentences together like flash and dash, like maybe O'Connell can, other people. And I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, we judge a coach by how he's behind the microphone? And then it looks like he's a hell of a coach.
No, it really does.
It looks like the players love him.
Well, how many times have you heard he won the press conference? Sirianni lost the press conference, right? But look what his team's doing. I couldn't agree with you more, Keith.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. He's got a team. They're 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. 12-1. Where do you rank them in the NFC?
In the NFC, do we put the Bucs on one? We agree with that.
I don't know, Trent Brady's. I guess no. Yeah, yes. I don't want to.
Do you put them above the Packers?
Yes.
Did you put them above the 49ers/Rams, whoever you like out of that group?
I like the Niners better. I like the Niners. By the way, see, the Niners odds went down. They were 20-1, and after the injury to Trey Lance, Garoppolo comes back in. Now they're 18-1.
As they should.
You know what, Trent?
You'd be...
Oh, I think the Niners will beat them.
Bucks, Niners.
Eagle, Packer.
Ahead of the Packers. All right. Hey, one thing I saw, Kenny White, our buddy who puts out power numbers for every player, and in his injury report, he only has guys that are actually considered worth a point or even a half point. Alan Lazard, worth a half point in his
Was he really?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be a top 300 player probably to be worth even a half point.
When Rodgers got him the ball in the end zone on Sunday night and they're celebrating, did you see who was waiting to celebrate and they did some kind of sign together or something? Rodgers needs Alan Lazard.
They were doing the tea. I think that's what they were
doing.
Is that
what it was?
Yeah, they were drinking the psychedelic tea.
You've got to be kidding me.
I think that's what it was.
Honestly?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, Lazard kind of, they marched to the same drummer.
Yeah.
But they sure do on the field, and man, yes, they're good.
That one catch that Lazard had, it was just a comeback route, stop route. I mean, the ball was on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was an 8-yard catch. I mean, it was innocuous over the comparison of the whole game. But it's one of those plays where he is the only guy on that team right now that he's comfortable making that pass to.
Yeah.
There's
he likes
else.
Tanya, but Tanya's hurt.
Right. And he's not a game breaker by any means.
No.
Alan Lazard's going to have a big season.
I think he is too.
He stays healthy.
Good for him, right?
Yeah.
Good for him. Local kid doing well. Stayed home, went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can you not root for guys like this? I know I do. And I'm not a Packer. Well, I like the Packers. I do. I'll admit it. I like the Packers. Rodgers might be my favorite all-time quarterback. Him and it's funny because if it's not him, well, Elway's in a special category, right? But the Packers have had two quarterbacks that are so high up on my list as far, because I loved watching Brett Favre play. Now, Brett Favre away from the game.
Oh, boy.
Making a little news and for all the wrong reasons. Where did you like Favre's game? I love watching Favre play.
I'm a Bears fan.
Well, I get it. You're a Bears fan. But
it takes
that aside.
No, I always thought he was a punk. And
Boy, he was tough.
He was easy when you're hooked up full of Vicodin.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Easy to be tough when you're hopped up on goofballs.
Nate joins us. Hello, Nate. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. I got questions for you guys on the, you guys kind of ranking the NFC guys. I'll play a little game with you.
Okay.
Okay. Number one and number two teams right now, I'm going to say Bills Chiefs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you put another team in the AFC above every other NFC team too? Rank the first NFC team at?
Well, who would the other team be? I can't put the Dolphins there. I love the Chargers, but even I won't go there yet.
Ravens.
I put the Chargers over every single NFC team.
I'm still on the Ravens. That was a complete meltdown. I get it.
Yeah.
I still got to put them up there.
I put Ravens and Chargers both above, and then I would discuss the Dolphins maybe even being fifth over before you.
I get your point.
Yeah.
I get your point, Nate. It's not crazy.
Yeah.
There's way more depth and there's way more good teams in the AFC than there is in the NFC this year. And if you could thanks for the call. I mean, if you could get a line right now, if you could bet an AFC team or an NFC, what would you do? I mean, all day long, AFC, right?
We asked that to Mike Palm last week. And
well, Trent, every single day, I mean, going to Vegas as often as I did before the explosion of this, as soon as the game went final, they would put up AFC, NFC for next year's Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the Super Bowl ends, there's a number up there. And people bet the you-know-what out of it.
Sight unseen, I'm laying 3.5 all day long with the AFC.
Without a doubt. But you wouldn't get 3.5. There's no way you would.
4.5. Sight unseen.
Nate's got a good point.
Yeah.
How many teams in the AFC do you rank before you get to an NFC team?
And if you did a top 10, how many of those would be in the NFC? 3?
Niners.
I'm not ready with the
Bucks.
I got to see Jimmy G a little bit more. I mean, he came into the game and that thing was already over.
Okay, so Bucks, Packer,
Eagles.
And in the top 10? I think you got to. After last night, I think you have to. I think you do.
And I'm higher on the Eagles, I think, than you are.
So Chiefs and Chargers, in no particular order. I'm just going through the divisions. Chiefs and Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the South.
Nope.
Ravens.
Yes.
Boy, you're right on the Bengals, by the way.
Yeah.
Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
And then, can Nathaniel Hackett get out of his own way?
No, I haven't seen it again. Boy, is he overmatched. I've never seen anything like it.
It's one of the wildest
things. It's hard to watch. Trent, the fans at Invesco, what's it called now? It's always Mile High to me. The fans are Mile High.
Sports Authority.
They're counting down the clock. 10, 9.
It's like a basketball game.
It's ridiculous.
Have you ever seen that before in a football
game? Never. Never. And the fans thought that they had to do it because of all the delay of game
this is
penalties.
Week two.
And they had no timeouts yet because they've already used them.
This is week two.
And this is a guy that opted for a 64-yard field goal instead of trying to...
Go fourth and five with Russell Wilson.
Right, Russell Wilson. Now, again, I don't think he's playing very well. But still.
64 yards.
And I love Brandon McManus.
Not
Brandon
in the
McManus
area
is in Denver.
Not Mile High.
Right, he's in Seattle.
Anyway. A little thicker there.
Oh, my gosh. He's overmatched.
Speaking of overmatched, one more NFL thought as we're kind of going through things.
Okay.
You've been trying to sell me for 2 years on Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening. The Bears wide receiver, we've heard all
of them. They're awful, Trent. The wide receivers are terrible.
You think they are. How about this? 2 weeks in,
yeah,
they have the fourth most separation of wide receiver group in the NFL. Fourth most. Guys are getting open. Justin Fields just can't get the ball to him.
Trent.
Darnell Mooney.
You know who leads the league leads the team for wide receivers in receptions? You know what that number is?
Oh, I did.
Yes.
Pringle? I don't know.
Now what? Okay, how many's Pringle
Four?
Cut? St. Brown's got three.
Three.
That's the Montgomery out of the backfield's got five. St. Brown wide receiver's got three. Pettis got one. Pringle's got one. One. Darnell Mooney's got two.
He had one in each of the 2 weeks. Last week, Darnell Mooney had the sixth most separations.
Now, they
of
did
wide
play
receiver.
In a quagmire week one.
They did. Six most separations last week. He had one catch. It's a Justin Fields problem. This isn't college. You're not going to be able to run around and make plays.
And the offensive line's better, Trent.
It is.
Yeah.
He has had time. Mm-hmm. This is a Justin Fields problem. And here we are, two games in.
Mm-hmm.
You've been trying to sell me.
Tried to sell you on Petrus, too.
Yeah, boy, it's coming up snake eyes for you over there.
Trent, I can't pick my nose when it comes to football. I love the points last night in both games.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassingly bad when it comes to picking football games. It's a good thing I don't bet games.
It is.
It's the reason I bet futures. Oh, my God, I'm bad. I was 1-4 last week.
1-4?
I think my high wire is 2 wins. This is brutal. Anyways.
Come back Friday.
Yeah.
Football Friday picks.
Take a time out. We'll come back. We're going to talk baseball with our friend Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. A little MLB conversation coming up with him as we go down the stretch in Major League Baseball. It's Des Moines.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sports Station 106.3.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. Bill Bender from the Sporting News on college football at 11:05. And then we'll talk to our friend Frank Schwab from YahooSports.com. More NFL conversation coming up. Working on Matt Snyder. Let's do a little high school football.
Yeah.
Didn't have any time to do that yesterday. So on Friday night, I watched, for the most part, start to finish, Ankeny and Southeast Polk. Mm-hmm. And this was an incredibly entertaining football game with athletes on both sides of the ball. And a lot of them staying at home and going to either Iowa or Iowa State, which is great to see. Trent, J.J. Cole, I'd seen some chatter, heard some buzz that, you know, he's not having the season. People watch him play, and it's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is what all this hype is about? I don't get it. Then I watched him on Friday night. He's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only game I've seen him play, I think.
See, and I've done probably 8 of his games now, and he's been played poorly in a lot of them.
Cool.
You know, had week one where he threw 3 interceptions in the first half against Waukee. Going back to last year, the games that I did of his, even his sophomore year, going all the way back to Centennial.
Mm-hmm.
And just has never played well outside of one game.
Cool.
That
he was on fire on Friday.
Gets time, gets protection. Well, that was the big thing because the week previous I had their matchup against Dowling Catholic, and the Ankeny offensive line could not protect. I mean, he just didn't have time. And he needs protection. I mean, he's a quarterback that is not going to be able to do a whole lot with his legs. You know who he reminds me a lot of is Nate Chandler. Remember Nate Chandler at Iowa?
Not size-wise.
Yeah, it's because of the size and also running the football. Because though Nate Chandler is not known as a runner, once he got going with that big frame, he could pick up yards and he could get the first down. And that's the same thing with Cole. He's not going to, you know, juke a guy out of his jock and get a first down or things like that. That's not J.J. Cole. But when he gets ahead of steam, when there's an open field, he's athletic enough when he gets that momentum going that he gets going pretty fast. The thing that always cracks me up, when they ran their 40 for the NFL, Nate Chandler was faster than Brad Banks.
That's wild.
I mean, just
you could have, that's a great bar bet.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely unthinkable, but that's the way it was. And that's J.J. Cole. Once he kind of gets that straightforward momentum and that big frame going, that's what he can do.
Can I throw out another player, too? Because I know you've seen him before when he was at Roosevelt, and then now that he's at Ankeny. This Jameson Patton.
Mm-hmm.
They got some. Iowa State's got something. This kid, where's he going to play, Trent? Because he's a great safety. I get that's where he's recruited to play, but he's learning the receiver position. Trent, they couldn't cover him.
Put him in the slot. That's what you're saying.
He is such an athlete.
He the heir apparent for Jalen Knoll. Take over in that spot.
He's bigger. I mean, he's 6'2", but boy, oh boy, is he athletic.
He is an excellent athlete. Great baseball player, and did that obviously at Roosevelt and then at Ankeny this past summer. He's just a tremendous athlete, and the best thing about Jameson, as I've got to know him throughout the years and call a lot of his games, both baseball and football-wise, he's a great kid. Mm-hmm. He's a great young man. And
Murph interviewed him after the game.
An easy guy to root for.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, hearing his decision of leaving Roosevelt, you knew that was a tough
one. It's tough, right? Yeah.
You could also tell he's thinking about his future.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with a young man thinking about his future, too.
No, I mean, I get it. I absolutely do. And it has to be tough, the kids you grew up with that you're, you know, chummed with forever, played with, started with, and then you're going to go somewhere else and you were the guy. But boy, he's a player. You know, as a kid, another kid who caught my attention. So Samu, the running back, that's how you say his name, Abu Samu. He didn't play. He's hurt. Southeast Polk's running back. But a kid by the name of Gibson, who's a sophomore.
Harrison Gibson, yeah.
Boy, oh boy, is he ever a tough kid.
They just keep churning him out at Southeast
Polk. Oh, my God.
Zelenovich has got that thing set up. I know Friday night obviously didn't go the way that they are. But, you know, Southeast Polk kind of hit a lull there until, what, about 4 or 5 years ago, where they're all right. You know, they'd be 6-3 in the regular season, but when they kind of played the heavy heads, Zelenovich has taken that thing to a new level. And, well, have a couple of 5 stars that go through your halls.
Right.
Last couple of years is going to help that.
Proctor was going both ways.
Now, everybody out of the top three here in Central Iowa, everyone's beat everybody. Dowling lost to Southeast Polk.
Dowling lost to Ankeny. Early, right?
Well, it's all still early.
Okay.
Right, right now. If you had to make a pick out of the three, and
well,
I know
I've only
you just
seen
saw,
two.
Yeah.
This
is what I fall back on. Dowling got beat 38-24 Southeast Polk week one. The Dowling you see now. The Dowling you see in November.
It's always different.
It's always different.
Always different.
And what Dowling did over the weekend.
We want to get into that game because there's some bad blood there.
Absolutely. Against City High. They shut them out 34-0. Remember a year ago, that's when Jackson Smollett got hurt, was in that game against City High. English had to come in a quarterback and just wasn't ready. City High pulled a big upset and they were fired up. Well, first of all, there was a dirty play in the game. And it comes from a guy that I think a lot of people know, Ben Keeter.
Yeah.
Outstanding world champion in wrestling and a Iowa football recruit.
Right.
There is video at the bottom of the pile of the running back for Dowling Catholic and his ankle being turned.
Purposely.
On
plays
purpose.
Over.
From Keeter.
The whistle is gone.
Oh, absolutely. And even if it isn't, you don't do that in the bottom of the pile.
Sure, I get it.
Play's still
in
going.
High school.
Yeah, you don't do it in the NFL. You don't twist a guy's ankle in a pile. Keeter did that.
And it snapped?
Broken ankle. Davis is out for the year. That's a bad one.
They canceled the JV game last night because of what happened on Friday night.
Not a surprise.
And City High and Dowling were supposed to play a JV game last night. It was canceled.
So Mitch Moore is over there, and he's done a tremendous job of turning City High around. A moribund program here lately compared to what they
did to Roosevelt.
Yes, absolutely. Got them up and running. Now, Eric Link deserves credit because he got it started before Moore got there and kind of got them on the right track. But, yeah, he got them at a high level. But Mitch Moore is always a guy that he's high energy. You've met him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in here with us.
Yep.
He's fun to talk to.
Yep.
Does he skirt the rules? Absolutely.
Yep.
Does he play in the margins? No doubt.
Right.
And it's not just people here in Central Iowa. Now the people in Eastern Iowa are starting to figure out a little bit more. The way that Mitch Moore runs a high school program is a lot different than pretty much everybody in the state.
There's some reports there was some awful bad blood between the two head coaches. Is that true? Do you know?
I hadn't heard anything on that front outside of, those kind of rumblings. Mm-hmm. But if you're upsetting Tom Wilson.
Right.
Maybe it's time to take a look in the mirror, Mitch Moore.
Yeah.
If you're having that, and he's not alone. Coach Wilson's not alone in people that don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
I heard there was, before the semifinal game last year with City High, Coach Zelenovich was told, if you can, hang half a 100 on him.
Wow.
I don't want to say nobody likes Mitch Moore, mm-hmm. but not many people are in his camp in the home head coaching ranks at the very least.
Which is different, Trent, because they're usually they're it's a pretty
yes.
tight, they get along, right?
It's a fraternity.
It's a football game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a high school football game. Back to Ankeny Southeast Polk. Now, these two schools used to hate each other, mm-hmm. and I guess there was another incident following that game on Friday
yeah,
night.
How wild.
Ankeny, I don't want to use the word destroyed, but apparently caused significant damage to the locker room
roughed
in Southeast
it up.
Polk. Man, what's going on here? What happened on Friday night? Was there a full moon? I have no idea what it was.
What a
weird
night.
You just beat Southeast Polk and you want to destroy the locker room? Come on.
You get fired up.
What's that coach's name? Rick? What's his last name?
Rick Nelson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Rick. Get a hold of your crew.
Absolutely.
Right? It's on you at the end of the day. I mean, I'm not saying he was involved or even was in there at the time, but you had to be out standing outside and hear what's going on.
That's frustrating. And you continue to hear a couple things. Remember last year, Ankeny had some problems.
Yes, he was suspended.
He was suspended. There's a lot going on in the high school ranks.
I don't. Is it just that got to win? I mean, I get it. They keep scoring the games. That's what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. But, man, oh, man. So Mitch Moore, Tom Wilson, Dowling, and Iowa City High.
Mm-hmm. There was also the first game of the year that City High played Liberty at Kinnick. Did you see the...
I saw the crowd. I couldn't believe it. I was blown away.
So a running back for City High, his little back flap pad that he has...
Yeah.
His jersey was pulled up, and he had something to, and I don't remember exactly what was written on there, but it was like, see ya, or I'm fast AF. Something like that mm-hmm. that was on there. It just, those little things add up. They're still high school kids, right?
Right.
We need the adults in the room. Let's pull this together a little bit more.
Well, apparently,
because when these
places...
stories continue to come out
mm-hmm.
week after week after week, that's too a lot of head scratching, definitely.
No, it really does. So apparently there's going to be an investigation of what happened in the locker room. That was on KCCI last night.
Is that where it was?
Anyways, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Going to talk some baseball. I get it. Everybody's focusing on Aaron Judge. You know what Aaron Judge might win? You know what he might do?
Triple Crown.
Yes.
Yeah, Rise has kind of come back to the pack a little bit. And have you seen the September numbers for Aaron Judge? I'll have them for you when we come back. I have them in my notes.
He's running away with the home run derby, yes. obviously. Likewise, RBI. He's 1 point behind.
MVP.
Oh, and it's not even close. I love Ohtani. It's not even close.
People's world.
Oh, come on. I get what Ohtani's doing, right? We've never seen it before. And you can win it every single year. But if a guy wins a triple crown, or even he comes second in the batting title, come on. It can't happen. What this guy is doing, look, the American League's been around a long time, and he's two home runs away from tying Roger Maris, and he'll probably blow by that, but he's batting .316, Arise is .317. There's a decent chance. Not only does he become the all-time winning leader in home runs in the American League, he wins a triple crown. That is a rarity, for crying out loud. All right, we're going to talk some baseball coming up here. More baseball conversation. Matt Snyder joins the program. Let me get my button over here to click you on. Hello, Matt Snyder, Trent and Ken. Thanks for coming on. We're talking about Aaron Judge. He's going to win the triple crown. He's two of the categories, he's home free. And I think this is sneaking up on people that he's only one percentage point away from, you know, leading as far as the batting average as well. I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah, he started to creep up about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks or so, because he's really been, it's kind of funny, you know, when I made the value argument, and a lot of people were saying, well, how valuable could somebody be when their team's not winning? Well, when the Yankees were terrible, when they were losing, two out of every three games, he was hitting like .400. That was the best he's played all year, but nobody was helping him. And that's why I think it kind of snuck up on a lot of people. It was quiet, where he just kind of snuck right into that batting title race. And no Triple Crown winners have ever hit 60 homers.
Right.
I'd have to check on what the highest was. I don't know if anybody was in the 50s either. So it's in many ways just one of the most absurd seasons we've ever seen.
And is there really going to be a debate as to who the MVP is in the American League?
Judging from my mentions last week, yes.
That's wild.
There are a lot of people really hardcore that since Ohtani pitches like an ace, which
mm-hmm,
he does, and hits as in a well above average hitter that nobody else could possibly be as valuable to a baseball team since he does those two things, whereas the argument would be Judge only does one of them. So it's, you know, if we want to get into every single aspect of it, I would submit that, well, Judge has more stolen bases and fewer attempts than Ohtani, and I bet not a lot of people know that. Judge plays defense, Ohtani doesn't,
yep.
Which, again, not that big of a deal, but it's also there for saying all-around player. And if you wanted to say somebody has to have a huge, huge, huge advantage in offense to kind of make up for the gap where Ohtani pitches and Judge doesn't. Judge does. He has him by like 200 points in OPS. He has over 20 more home runs. He has 35, 40 more RBIs. I mean, it's a blowout on offense.
Has there been a home run guy that won the home run title that won by as much as he has? Know what I mean? Like you just mentioned, he's
Babe
up
Ruth.
20. How many did Babe Ruth, who finished second to Babe Ruth? How far behind?
Oh, I just did it last week. It was Hack Wilson and somebody else at 31.
Tiger. Okay.
31 the year Babe hit, I want to say 59.
There's the answer.
So it was 2028. Yeah, it was something like that. In that, I believe that's what it was, 1928 or so. But yeah, that's where we are. We're talking about back in the 1920s and Babe Ruth when he was a man among boys. That's how big the gap is.
One of our regional teams we don't get into a ton is Milwaukee. The Brewers, of course, have seen the Central Division title go by the wayside, but the Phillies have lost four in a row, and the Brewers just 2.5 games back. We're running out of games here. 2.5 is a lot more significant than it was just even a few weeks back. Milwaukee, who do you like down the stretch here for that final wild card spot? The Phillies with the lead, or do you think the Brewers still got something in them?
Well, first off, either one would be a bad bet because they're both so inconsistent.
Yeah.
Whoever's going to be hot at the right time. I'll go with the Phillies. The Phillies do have a tough week, though. I mean, they've got to deal with the Blue Jays and then the Braves, and we saw what the Braves did to them last weekend. So it's going to be tough, but I'll ultimately stick with the Phillies. I've been on them all along, and I've been saying the Brewers were not a playoff team all along, so I'm not going to stray from that based upon what's happened the last few days, having just said, yeah, they're both really inconsistent. So there's going to be ebbs and flows, I think, with both of them. Maybe they'll change spots and then change back or something. But and the Padres right in that race as well. Could be a nice three teams for two spots race there. I'll stick with the Padres and Phillies. But, yeah, that could go down to the wire. Unfortunately, none of them play each other.
That is unfortunate. That's not the case as far as Cleveland and the White Sox as they begin a series tonight. So is there a chance La Russa is not going to manage again this year? I mean, I know that it's been talked about.
Sure.
Apparently he's been cleared, but he's not getting back into the dugout. I don't think you put him back in the dugout. Although Hendricks came out and said, you know, we play for him in a podcast last week or an interview last week. How's this going to be handled with the White Sox and La Russa?
I mean, as long as there's not a huge group of players going to the front office and saying, keep him away from us, and surely you leave it in his hands. You know, if what Hendricks said is true and they're all on his side and they all believe that, you know, them playing well is just a matter of time and it doesn't have anything to do with him not being there, they could well believe it. It's a coincidence, and it very well could be a coincidence. But the other aspect I think about is if you're in La Russa's shoes, you know, is it really that huge of a deal? He's already done everything he can do. He's won World Series coming from both leagues. They won the division last year. They're playing well without him, as he's probably been watching. He's probably taking great pleasure in it. At his age, you know, is it really that huge of a deal? He might say, you know what, I'm good. I'm retired. They're fine without me. I am very interested in that. And gosh, if he comes back and then they collapse, that would really be something.
Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners are going to be in the playoffs, and what a story that is. We saw him, obviously, in the Home Run Derby in the All-Star game.
Phenomenal.
Just a dynamic talent, a beautiful swing. He has everything. This Mariners team, top end of the rotation is really good. Bullpen has been solid. It's a dark horse. It's a shot in the dark here, but
yeah,
you know that crowd's going to be revved up here. If you don't want to play chalk, Astros, I can't bet on them because they're a bunch of cheaters. And the Yankees are the Yankees, and I'm not going to put my money. at 8-1 to win the American League. Am I crazy looking harder at this Mariners team than even the Blue Jays, who maybe are more talented top to bottom? There's just something about this team. Maybe I want to have a rooting interest. Hmm.
Yeah, I would take the Blue Jays there, but no, you're not crazy. I mean, we've seen stuff happen, and maybe the 2019 Nationals could be a similar. I know that the Mariners don't have the ace level of Scherzer and Strasburg there, but when you look at Robbie Ray and Luis Castillo, if they both throw as well as they can, you are looking at a pair of aces.
Yeah.
And they have a pretty deep rotation. They have a good bullpen. They have enough talent offensively that if guys got hot, if you got the best versions of like Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez and Ty France and Mitch Haniger, there's enough there around a dynamic superstar like Julio Rodriguez. You could see something like how it came together for the Braves last year. You could totally see something like that. I won't be picking them, but I don't think it's outrageous at all to try to make that argument, because I kind of just did. You know, it's right there for the taking.
Indeed it is. We'll get you out of here on this. The Cardinals, Albert Pujols continues the trek. We talk about this every week, or have over the last 3 weeks. He's going to do it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. It's funny, going into the year, I think most of us, and we probably talked about it here, we're like, hey, at least maybe he can get to A-Rod, but it's a really tall order to get to 700. But in the second half, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball, full stop. No caveats on that. No, oh, for a 42-year-old. No, he really has been one of the best hitters in baseball. He's hitting it hard, too. It's not fluky stuff. If you look at, like, batted ball data, like exit velocity, he's hitting it as hard as anybody. It's remarkable. It's so fun. And between that and Molina and Wainwright setting the record.
Yeah, that's cool.
Goldschmidt looking like maybe MVP, maybe making a run at Triple Crown. Arenado having like a vintage Arenado season. All these exciting rookies. The Cardinals have been maybe even under the radar because of probably Judge and some other stuff. But one of the most fun teams in baseball this season with all those storylines going on.
Indeed it was. Wainwright, Molina loved it, except they knocked my guy Mickey Lolich and Bill Freehan to second place on that record book. Anyways, we will talk to you next week, Matt Snyder. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you, as always. All right. CBSSports.com. Take care, Matt. Thank you. Matt Snyder, as we talk a little MLB. We'll take a time out, come back, and finish up the hour. Hour number two, Bill Bender from the Sporting News, Frank Schwab from YahooSports.com. A lot of football conversation coming up. It's Miller and Condon, 106.3
KXNO.
All right, final couple of minutes, first hour of the program. Bill Bender from the Sporting News kicks off hour two. Frank Schwab on the NFL at 11:30. Just real quick, since we were talking high school football and watch Ankeny Southeast Polk, Cerency and Murph do a really good job.
Yeah, they do.
It's good to see.
Saw a little Cerency, or heard a little Cerency during the UNI broadcast on Saturday. Flipped it over. That was
were
on channel
watching?
23.
Yeah.
Watched a little bit. They got clubbed again. They got beat by Sacramento State, who's ranked in the top 10. Tough early season schedule for the Panthers, but an 0-3 start? That is a difficult one. And the new voice over there hasn't had a win to talk about quite yet after the retirement of Gary Reimer.
So you're blaming
Reimer.
Him?
Well,
Reimer goes away, and so does the good fortune, apparently.
I'm just saying.
I gotcha. Hour two coming up. We will talk to Bill Benner, a little college football conversation to start it. Thank God we're in conference play. Not that I'm wishing non-conference away. Because
look at you. You're usually compelling and it's going too fast. Now you're trying to get rid of it.
It's just so
can't
good.
Win with Ken Miller.
You know what I'd like, Trent? I'd like 2 weeks of non-con and an extra week. Because this weekend, aren't you ready for this?
Well, if you want 2 weeks of non-con, Cy-Hawk goes away.
Don't want that at all. What was I thinking? Hour two coming up next. 106.3 KXNO.